Well, we are finishing the book of Hebrews. I'm a little sad. We've been in this book for a while, and it's been good, and I hope it's been helpful to you. So we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse 20. So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. Hebrews 13, verse 20. This, if you have your Bible out, there's probably a heading above it that says benediction or prayer or something. This is the prayer of the author. And man, what a powerful prayer it is as we look at it. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. Let's pray. Lord, may we hear you today. May your words speak to us, God, as we close out this message series, Lord, as we've looked through your word, through this book of Hebrews. I pray that the truth of it will be impressed upon our heart. God, that would be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to magnify you, worship you, follow you, surrender our life in accordance to your will so that our life would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do realize that there is a heavy judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of y'all have had the pleasure of stepping onto a car lot to go purchase a vehicle? Don't you just love that? and you're looking at the cars, and man, there's all kinds of cars to choose from. There's trucks, SUVs, and there's all kinds of price ranges. And then when you zero in on the actual car or truck that you like, the model you like, there's a different a range that you can get in that particular vehicle. You can get your basic model, right? Your basic model, just got the basic packages. It's the cheapest, right? It's the one I get. And then you have your fully equipped, or they may call it fully loaded package. Now, that's the high-dollar vehicle, right? I mean, that's got all anything that can be in that vehicle that's nice is. You know, it might have leather seating, might have dual heating seats on the driver and passenger side, may have air control in the front and back, power everything, electronics to the max, right? Cars are now mini computers, and it's high dollar, but you get all. You get everything. It's fully equipped, right? Well, can I tell you this morning that as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you have been saved, you have been fully equipped. You've been fully equipped. You have everything that you need, okay? You didn't get just the basic model. Some people have a view that you get saved and you just get the base model salvation. And then it's up to you to upgrade and put all of the extras on. Well, what we're going to look at this morning and this prayer of the author of Hebrews is that you are fully equipped. Amen? So we're going to understand we're fully equipped in salvation and sanctification. I know that's sanctification. That's a very church word, isn't it? Sanctification means to be set aside for a special use, to be set apart, that you are holy, that God, when he saved you, he sanctified you or set you apart for his special purpose. And when he saved you, He gave you everything that you needed to live a life pleasing to him. Isn't that good news? All right, y'all ready to look at this prayer? Man, it's a powerful prayer. We're going to break this prayer down. You ready? Verse 20. Let's go back and let's just dissect this, okay? Now, may the God of peace, the God of peace, let's just stop right there and think about that. What does that mean? The God of peace. You see, we were at war with God at one time. You read the Old Testament, and many people look at the Old Testament and say, man, that's a God of wrath. There's judgment. There's all kinds of just, you know, all these stuff happening. And God just bringing his judgment. And the Bible tells us that we are enemies of God, that sin has separated us from God, that every one of us have turn from him, and that we don't seek God, we don't love God, we don't naturally just worship God and serve him and follow him and do the things that God would want us to do. In fact, like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what was the first thing they did? They hid. And then God came to them. They tried to cover themselves. What do? We try to save ourselves. We try to clean ourselves up. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't make ourselves right. We are everything that we do is we're hostile to God. And the Bible tells us that God showed his love toward us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when Jesus came, he came to make peace with the sinner. He came to justify the sinner. He came to redeem the sinner. He came to win the enemy and bring us back to his side. And that Jesus, through his death and resurrection and through the offer of salvation and the gift of salvation, that we have been made right with God. And now, because sin has been taken away from us, because Jesus has died for us and paid the price and we have been made right with God, now we can have peace with God. You'll never have peace with God until you have experienced salvation, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, all these words. So even while we were yet enemies of God, the Bible says, Christ died for us. We have been justified by his blood so that the wrath of God doesn't fall on us, but fell on his son. So that we might be made right and experience peace. The peace of God. Salvation brings peace. You don't have to wonder, does God love me? Does God care about me? Because if he saved you, you are now at peace with God. You don't have to worry about, you know, God condemning you. Because your sins have already been judged. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's conviction when we do wrong, but no condemnation because we have peace with God. We are now in the family of God. So we've been given the God of peace. May the God of peace, and he's going to talk about this God of peace. What did God do? The God of peace, what did he do? He brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. He, the God of peace, he brought again the dead, the Lord Jesus. That's the resurrection. God brought Jesus up from the grave, this God of peace. He brought Jesus up from the grave. And who is this Jesus? He's the great shepherd. And when you read, when you know your Bible, and you hear the word great shepherd, and you hear shepherd, it immediately takes you to John chapter 10, when Jesus tells them that I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow. I know them, and they know me, because they are mine, Jesus says. You see, he says, when a hireling is hired to watch the sheep and the wolf comes, he'll flee. Now, why does the hireling flee when the wolf comes? Jesus says, because they are not his sheep. But I own my sheep, Jesus says. They're mine. And I lay my life down for my sheep. And I have the right to raise it up. Jesus, the good shepherd, you know what he says? If he's a good shepherd, it means he has some sheep, doesn't it? And if he has some sheep, he's a shepherd of those sheep. And Jesus paid a high price to purchase his sheep. What was it? His blood. The blood of Jesus. That he purchased for himself a people that would be his. And so when we are a Christian, we are a blood-bought, purchased sheep of the great shepherd, and we're his sheep. Amen? He says, I have them in my palm of my hand, in my Father's hand, and he's even greater than I, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And so when we have the good shepherd watching over us, we're protected. He doesn't let danger come. He fights for us. He feeds us. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, well, what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. His rod and his staff, he comforts me. That's a shepherd's staff. He is the good shepherd. He says, and the God of peace who raised Jesus, the Lord Jesus, from the dead, and he qualifies this Jesus as the good shepherd who loves his sheep, died for his sheep, redeemed his sheep. But not only that, but he did it by the blood of the eternal covenant. It wasn't the fact just only that God raised Jesus from the dead, because God raised other people from the dead. But it was that God raised Jesus from the dead through the blood, not just any blood, but the blood of the eternal covenant, the new covenant. The blood of Jesus. What kind of blood was this? It was an atoning blood, the blood that atoned for our sin, that cleansed us from our sinfulness. It was a pacifying blood. It was a blood that pacified the wrath of God. It is the fact that the blood of Jesus that covers and removes the stain of sin out of our life. And it's the blood of Jesus that's the eternal covenant. It's the new covenant. The covenant talked about in Ezekiel 37, that I will put my spirit in them. You see, the Old Testament was always pointing to this. It was always showing us this, that there's coming a day, the Lord said, when I will write my law within their hearts. Because he wrote it on stone first, right? And then he's going to write it upon their heart. I'll put my spirit in them. They will be my people. That he will do something on the inside. He will change us from the inside. This new covenant, it's a better covenant. It's what the author of Hebrews has been talking about throughout the entirety of his letter. And so he keeps warning the Hebrews, don't go back to Judaism, because those were the shadows. Make sure that you are embracing Jesus, who is the substance. And he is the shepherd, and it's through his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, that will cleanse you, but is the precious blood of Jesus, who has made this new covenant, the one that we just symbolically express through communion. This is my blood of the new covenant, he said. This is my blood that was poured out for many, he said. This is the one that the author of Hebrews says that Jesus was taken outside the gate, that he, through his blood, redeemed people, that he bought us with his blood, that he paid the high price at Calvary to take our sentence of death so that we might live. So what else does this blood do? The blood of the eternal covenant. Now, let's look at verse 21. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go back to the very first phrase, equip you. Now, he says, now may the God of peace, who brought Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead through the eternal blood, right, of the covenant, that's qualifying how he saved us. Do you see that? We don't go to heaven because we're good people. We don't go to heaven because we attend church services. We don't go to heaven because of what we do. We go to heaven because of what he has done. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by his grace. Okay? This God of peace, now watch it. Look at it in your text, in your Bible. Now may the God of peace who, and he qualifies how we were saved through Jesus. Now verse 21, we can pick back up and say, now may the God of peace, verse 21, equip you with everything good. So the God of peace who redeemed us and saved us through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the blood of the eternal covenant, that same God of peace who did that also equips you with every good work. Do you see that? Do you see how this is working? The God of peace who brought Jesus from the dead is now the same God of peace who equips you with everything good that you may do his will. Everything, all that you need. Remember, fully equipped. Look at your neighbor and say, fully equipped. Right, I'm fully saved and fully equipped. How many of you all have a computer? How many of y'all have Microsoft Office, or you have some Windows, you have Microsoft Word or Excel? All right, now Excel is a program that can do all kinds of data. I have absolutely no idea how to work Excel. Okay, like I'm just, I can put numbers in and I can highlight it and hit like the little, what is it? Sum button, yeah. I don't even hardly know where that is. It takes me a long time to find that. I finally hit it and it can add it. That's about all I can do on Excel. Okay? Now, is that a deficiency on the program side or on me? That's on me, right? Because Excel is fully equipped with everything that it needs to do. The problem is I don't always access it. You know, they have this crazy thing called owner's manuals. You know, you can get it with your vehicle, by the way, too. If you don't know exactly what is going on with your vehicle, they have an owner's manual. You know, but who needs that, right? But if you want to know, it's there for you, right? In our Christian life, you see, we've been fully equipped. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He is personal. He's a person. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, okay? It's not that you have just part of the Holy Spirit living in you or some of the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. The problem that we have sometimes in our sanctification, in our growth, is we're not maximizing the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That's not a deficiency on the Holy Spirit's part. That's us not aligning ourselves up to him. Okay? Now watch this. It's going to help all of us. You ready? We're gonna enjoy our Christian life. Okay? We're going to enjoy our walk. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to realize that salvation is from God and God alone, that we are saved by him. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? So we know that we're saved by God's grace, but we're also by God's working power is how we are sanctified or more conformed to his image. He says, may the God of peace, then we jump down to verse 21, equip you, give you everything that you need, right? Everything good, that he's gonna equip you with everything good. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of those things are good. Those are fruit of the Holy Spirit. The things that God gives are good. The gifts of God are good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says, right? So he equips us with everything good so that, what? You may what? Do his will. A life devoted to pleasing the Lord. He has equipped us with everything good that we need to do his will. You got that? Okay, he's equipped us with that. Now here's the key. Working where? In us. There's the key to our growing in Christ. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He's equipped us with everything we need to do his will. And he is working where? In us. The key to our growth. Christianity, our faith walk, it is about the heart. It's about the intentions, not just the actions. You see, you can have an appearance without the heart. God works from the inside out. And if we want to live out our faith, we have to have our heart in the right place. We need a soft heart. We need a heart that is open to God. We need a heart that is broken before God. We need a heart that is humble before God. We need a heart that is receptive to God. Because our fleshy heart can be desperately wicked and it can deceive us. So therefore, we need to allow the Lord to work on our heart. Because here's the problem. The Bible says this in Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's something we do. For it is God who works in you the power to do. You see that? Now here's what I'm saying. Many times we try to get to the action first without working on our heart. Many times in life when we have problems that come our way, we pray for the problem to be fixed rather than hearts to be transformed. Ours and the people around us, right? So if you have kids and they're acting crazy, Lord, straighten them up. You know? Lord, fix them. Straighten them up. You know how you need to pray? Lord, capture their heart. Capture their heart. Pray that God will begin working and massaging their heart. Having marital conflict. If he would just stop doing, if she would stop saying, nah. I don't know who said that, but I'm praying for you. I'm gonna be praying for you. I ain't even looking. I ain't looking that way. I heard it on that side. I ain't looking. I'm gonna stay right here. It's instead of asking God, change him, change her. Help. Pray for their heart. Pray that God will start massaging on the heart. Because it's God working in us first. You see, we can dress up the outside. Right? That's what the Pharisees did. They looked real religious on the outside. Right? They wore their nice robes, you know. They said their long prayers. They could quote scripture. The rabbis could recite the whole entire Old Testament. But yet they missed it. And Jesus would look at them and say, "You're whitewashed tombs. You have a pretty tombstone, but inside there's dead men's bones. You're dead on the inside." And we can put our nice clothes on, and we can try to fake it till we make it, and that's the world's way. Where God says, no, you don't just fake it till you make it, because you'll never make it if you fake it. You let me work from the inside, working in us, our heart. Lord, change my heart. Help me to be the husband that you've called me to be. Help me to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Change my heart, God. Lord, help me to see the pain that my kids may be going through. Help me to hear what they're wrestling with. God, give me eyes to see the people around me. Lord, I don't need you to even just change my body. Just change me. Work on my heart. Lord, the people around me that are lost, help me not to complain about them and gripe about them. So, I tell you what, I work right in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I need to get out of this job. No, maybe God's put you right in there to be the missionary to that place. God didn't call us to escape and become monks. He called us to engage the world in which we live, and we do that through our heart being transformed. Give me eyes to see the hurting around me. Give me ears to hear the lost that are crying all around me. Help me to be the person you've called me to be. Lord, you've equipped me with everything that I need, and so get my heart in position to hear you. Let it begin with my heart. If you got a pen out or something, write this down. You ready? May 19th through June 16th. May 19th through June 16th. That's when the Lord's coming back. No, just kidding. I couldn't resist. I got 3 minutes. I got to close this up. Okay, here we go. on those Wednesday nights, from that date to that date, on Wednesday nights, at 7 p.m., we're going to have a prayer service. All we're going to do is pray. Okay, all we're going to do is pray. Okay, it's going to coincide with the series we're going to be doing. All we're going to do is pray. I believe what we need more than anything at this time and this hour, not only just in our churches, but in our own individual life, is prayer. I believe we've got to allow. You see, God's, he's already equipped us with what we need. It is through prayer that we're going to be in tune with his voice, with a broken heart, to where he's working on the inside of us. And we start praying for people's hearts to be moved. Not just so that they just stop doing what they're doing, but we're going to pray for God to capture hearts. Because that's the only way we're going to be changed. We can have systems and reformed institutions to try to change us from the outside in. We can have all the education that we need, but we still see chaos around us. So it's not just the information that changes us. It's the Holy Spirit of God that changes us through transformation here. Does that make sense? It's not going to change your life from the outside in. It's going to come from the inside out. Working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. That which is pleasing. that we live a pleasing life, that our life pleases the Lord in his sight. Oh, that we would be mindful that the eye of the Lord sees everything. He sees our life. He sees us when we act like a fool. Okay? I don't know about you, but as a parent, when your kids act like a fool, it causes a lot of emotions, doesn't it? It makes you embarrassed, frustrated, angry. Do you know, as children of God, you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. There's actions and attitudes, things that we say, things that we think, that the Holy Spirit in us is going, oh gosh. Oh man, I wish. He'll convict us, he'll discipline us. Pleasing in his sight. If we lived every day and every moment like we knew the Lord is right there with us, watching us and being around us, you know, at the office, how would we act? How would we live our life? Do we live it pleasing to him? Pleasing in his sight through who? Jesus Christ. That's key, right? We don't live this life through ourselves, in our own power and our strength, but through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our life that is being lived to please God is to bring him glory. Amen? Not us. Not to point to us and say, look how holy they are. Oh, you know, they're just such great people. No, we serve such a great God. And he calls them at the end of this letter. He says, remember your leaders and the saints. If you're a Christian, you are a saint of God. That's not something that a church puts on you after you die. That's something that Jesus stamps on you when he saves you. You are a saint of God. You are a child of God. You have been set apart by God. You have been sanctified by God. You have been saved, sanctified, and everything that you need has been already given to you so that you can do his will. You're fully equipped. Where's it going to start? Working where? Right here. Where's change going to happen? Right here. Where's hope going to come? Right here. The answers that I'm looking for, that I'm so mad about, my circumstances, how's that going to change? It's going to change right here. My heart working in us. Lord, let me be the man you've called me to be. I need to quit griping so much about what's going on around me and start letting God work in me. Amen. Well, did you hear what's on the news? Did you hear that? Right here. Start right here. Quit worrying about everybody else right here. Lord, work in me. Work in me. I guarantee if we do this, man, things around us will look much different. Right here. I'm equipped. I've got it. Lord, let me utilize it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus.